Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. You're now live on Blog Talk Radio with the Middleman, and this is the Middleman Talk Show. And of course, this is your boy Al.
And this is Kevin. What's happening, baby?
What's good? What's good? We back live at it again. Sorry I missed you guys last week, but hey, y'all held it down, man.
Oh, man, we tried to do a little something, man. First time back, you know, a little rusty, trying to do a little something, but you know, man, it's all good, though.
Yeah, man.
It's all good
show,
man. It was great.
A lot of good comments.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank everybody.
I'm glad that your coworker, man, you know, I mean, somebody you know, I mean, say that, but somebody was interested in some of the things that I said on the previous show. I hope they call in today.
Well, we got a lot of stuff to talk about today.
I hope they're
man.
Listening.
I mean, you know, yeah. Some toes might get stepped on today, which is what we do.
No, I mean, man, you know, this is one of the specials that we do every year, man. Little end of the year, man. What we ain't get the opportunity to talk to y'all about. So I mean, it'll be a great opportunity to cover some things that we didn't speak upon through the year since we weren't even on the air, man.
Yeah.
You know what? It's back to you and me, man. It's back to you and me, man. Here we go again. Once again, it's the dynamic duo. I know we got maybe Jen and Nick are coming a little bit late, but hey, we here.
Yep, that's
and
right.
Shout out
that's
to
right.
everybody that called in last week. Great conversation, great opinions, the topic. Man, all of it was on point. It came all the way through, man. So shout out to everybody that's on the Middleman Talk Show Facebook page group. Thank you for all the participation. We looked at our numbers. Al, I don't know if you had a chance to look at those numbers, man. They were astounding.
No, I wasn't able to look at the numbers yet, but, hey, I really appreciate everybody who have been continuing to listen to our show. And, you know, the response was great via Facebook. So, I mean, it's, hey, we back, man. We back. It's good to be back.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, man, what we can do, man. Normally, I know we'll go over a couple of things about what's going on, things like that. So, I mean, this whole show is about what's going on, things that we want to talk about, things we want to get into. So, for all of our listeners, if you're new to the Middleman Talk Show, this week we're going to emphasize this first off, and we're going to say it again during the show. We don't cuss over here, y'all. So, if y'all have any vile language or anything y'all want to say is cussing or whatever the case may be, take that to another show. Keep listening to us, but you can cuss over there. Over here, we want to have intellectual conversation without the profanity. Now, sometimes we may get heated. Sometimes we may be passionate. Sometimes we just want to get it out there. So we understand that. But we prefer to have our show being, we want it to be able to be listened to by many of people. We want your grandma to listen to it. We want your auntie, your mama, your cousin, all these people. We want your pastor to listen to it because he might need to hear something. So,
that's right.
Let's not use any profanity while we're on the show. Also, we got a new call-in number. That new call-in number is
564-9698.
Yeah, man. Take a little
still
bit.
Still thinking about the old number.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, I got to get used to this new number, man. I mean, we appreciate Blog Talk Radio for upgrading us to a good number. So, I mean, hey, man. And also, if you guys would like to get into the conversation and you want to speak with us tonight, make sure that you dial that number. Press the number one. Just don't sit on the line. We had a couple of people say, man, you know, my wait was incredibly long. I understand, but you forgot to do one thing. That's to press the number one. That will get you in the conversation. We also have a web chat that I'm on right now, and I think Al is going to join me a little bit later, but no, he's on there now. But we do have a web chat over on blogtalkradio.com/the middlemen. You can get your profile or just log in as a guest. We don't need to know who you are. We don't have to know who you are. We appreciate
That's right.
the dialogue over there also. So, have I missed anything, Al? I mean, like, do we need to have any other disclaimers or anything else that these people need to hear today?
Well, I think you covered pretty much everything, and we always will tell people that we want to let your voice be heard, and this is an opinionated show. So everyone has the right to express their opinions, but we don't want to make anybody upset about anything. We just want to have a good conversation, get some knowledge about it, spread the word about some things, and share your thoughts on these particular topics that we discuss on this show. And so I guess from that, today we're going to be discussing the top 10 stories and events from the 2015 year. If there's something that we missed, we would love to hear your thoughts on what is important and relevant to you that happened in the year of 2015. Now, some of the things that we have pointed out that we're going to discuss today is the fight for $15 minimum wage increase, the Mi'kmaq March of the 2015 year, police brutality, which, of course, we all know that there has been a lot of police brutality this year, and we have reached over 1,000 people who have been killed by police in one year. We're also going to discuss the Woman of the Year Award, who's been given out by Glamour Magazine. We're going to talk about Bill Cosby. We're going to also address some of the terrorist attacks that have been here. Also, the American terrorist attacks. We will discuss Black Twitter and Officer Daniel Holzklaus, the serial rapist. And, of course, we can't leave the show today without talking about the presidential race. So we got to get into that. We definitely got to talk about, Trump, Carson, Bernie Sanders, all those people. So if you got something else that you want to ask this list, make sure you call in.
Oh, yeah. You know what, Jen, if Jen come in, she get in here in enough time, I know we're going to try to save that presidential race for her, because I know she feels strongly about politics. She got some things she want to say about the Democrats, the Republicans, the Libertarians, whatever other sect that she may know about. So we going to let her bring that on in if she come in. If she don't, we got something to say about it. Because, you and I, we're going to hold it down. We're going to say some good things about these topics. So, further ado, man, there's so much to digest on this plate today, man.
That we decided to talk about today, which could have been a numerous of stuff, and there's a lot of stuff that went on this year that, I mean, it's just so much to talk about, and it was just so much to choose from to even figure out what was going to go with on this show. But I think first and foremost, I really want to touch on the police brutality of this year.
Okay.
Everyone has seen the news. Everyone has been involved with what's been going on, because if you have a Facebook page, of course you see it all the time. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, they all report those things. But I think one of the biggest things that I wanted to address with the police brutality amongst us as people is that, the differentiation of views toward it. And you have a lot of people who were misinformed over things that happened with some of the people who were killed over the year, and felt that, the police did the right thing. And, then you have people on the other side of that police, that felt like the police did the wrong thing. And so I really, tried my best this year not to get into it with anybody via Facebook over misinformed information, because some people mm-hmm. only get their information from one source, which is Fox
right.
News.
Right.
So if you get your information only from Fox News, come on, man. Like you're really going to have a lot of misinformed information. So, and to me, it felt like Fox News was causing some issues with people of the public, the police department, politicians, things like that, because it made you want to pick sides and choose sides
yeah.
as far as, you know, right from wrong. But at the end of the day, I mean, a lot of the people who were killed this year, white and black, were unarmed. They wasn't doing anything to provoke the police officers. And then if you're on the ground and then you got another police officer pushing you, and then you got one police officer saying, start resisting, but you got a police officer pushing you and one kicking you in your chest, what are you going to do?
Before you get too far into that, Al, I do want to say this, and welcome Nick to the show, man. What's going on, Nick?
Hey, what's up, everybody?
All right, man. Hardest working man on the other side of the boards.
Hey, man, I got to do my thing, man.
Most definitely.
You know,
but,
Georgia Power don't care what your passion is.
Got to get it paid. You know, before you get too far into what you were saying, Al, I think that this whole issue with the police in 2015 is a very divisive. It's a very divisive issue, and what I mean by that is, you have people that are pro police, anti police. You have people that feels like it's white against black, or whatever the case may be. And one of the things that you stated, Al, there are a lot of people that got killed by the police. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people that got killed by the police within the last year. And like you said, they were unarmed. But the thing about it, with the media pushes an image that predominantly
mm-hmm.
looks like you, I, and Nick, look like us. So therefore, a lot
right.
of times when people in our community, they see the police doing their thing, what's the first thing they're going to say? Oh, they're protecting us from those criminals, which a lot of times they want to say the criminals look like us. Statistically,
right.
you can look at the federal statistics. Blacks actually commit less crime, and we had a show called Middlenomics. Even by
mm-hmm.
the numbers, if we're 13.9% of this population and the rest is everybody else, how can we create that much crime out of that 13%? It's simple math. We can't. But before I go too far in that, I want to say this. And why I say it's divisive, there needs to be a point where citizens, we need to get to the point where we're going to say, okay, this is a good cop, this is a bad cop. Good and bad has nothing to do with black and white, even though we sensationalize it in America.
Right.
We need to get beyond that. So that's just the beginning of what I had to say. So, Nick, go ahead. I got a couple other things I would like to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me jump in on that real quick. I think the thing about it is that oftentimes what we see and what is actually purported and what's actually going on is completely different. And I think I get
yep.
what you're saying about media being divisive, but it's divisive by design. And here's the reason why.
Yep.
Because in a moment's notice, if you get the majority of America, which is, you know, Caucasian, if you get the majority of America in an outrage about something, then they have no choice but to change it. As long as we can keep presenting, because the reality is there is no rating in a white unarmed kid getting killed by police.
Right.
There are no ratings in it. I'll give you a prime
True.
Example. You look at in the height of everything with Trayvon Martin, with Mike Brown, with everything. A lot of people forgot, or a lot of people didn't even know about Dylan Taylor, who was a young
mm-hmm.
white kid, 18 years old, who was on video. You could see on the cop's body
yep.
cam. He's walking
yep.
away from the cop, and he was pulling his pants up. You could tell he didn't have anything on him. And the cop, who was black, shot him in the back. Now, if that would have been put on Fox News, on CNN, Headline News, MSNBC, then it would have had to go beyond, oh, this is, since it's just a race problem, I don't have to identify with it. No, it's a cop killing a kid problem. And now they have
right.
a vested interest in retraining of cops, in proper procedure with cops. See, then it becomes a real outrage that has to have some type of change. As long as it's not on TV and they don't have to see it, they can be in denial about it.
Right.
And that's what it is. It's very much so by design. So until we get to the point, because, and I get, we have to expose as much as we can about when our people are done an injustice. But we also have to expose when other races are done an injustice too, because then they no longer look at it as that's a black person's problem. Then they look at it as that's everybody's problem. And unfortunately, until people start looking, see, the thing about it is when people realize that something is an everybody's problem, that's when a change is made. And that's how
you know
we
what,
have
Nick,
to do
that,
it.
That's
we,
true. Nick, that is so true.
White kids getting killed just as much as we got to share the black kids getting killed.
But you know what? You shut that hole. You really kind of shut that argument down with what you just said, for the fact that the media has no rating in sensationalizing their own. They have no rating. They will not get the views that they would, because we've been conditioned in America to do what? Good guys, bad guys, Indians, police, pilgrims,
mm-hmm.
Indians. You know what I'm saying? Us, them. That works in America.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? By them going back to say, hey, man, we got bad cops out here. We got good cops out here. What that does, that puts the spectrum around cops.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So
yep.
If you got it where people can view it from that standpoint, then like you said, Nick, true change will happen. And it's sad that we got cops. I saw a video the other day where there was a guy on the ground. He was not resisting. The cop pulled out his gun and shot his partner.
I saw that too.
Guess what he did?
Mm.
Yeah,
he put the gun.
He just killed that dude and planted
yeah.
a gun. But will he go to jail?
Yeah.
No. I ain't going to jail for that.
That's
not
the
only
thing.
This. When and how can we change the judicial system where we get people on the jury with their biases, and they will not convict a cop? Because guess what? That cop is someone in their mind. They've been conditioned to think that this guy is good. Now, mind you, I have cop friends. I hope one of them listening right now. I'm not saying all cops are bad, but you got bad people in your ranking. Just like the same way we
right.
have to hold that barren as black people. There's some bad black people out there. Just like there's some
yep.
bad white, Asians, and every other race on this continent. You see what I'm saying? But we got to bear
mm-hmm.
that. Why can't the police bear that same cross?
Well, here's the thing about it. I think it's twofold. When you're talking about juries and convicting cops, it's twofold. Here's the problem. When you have a situation like that, I absolutely do not believe in a jury of your peers. You should not be tried in the same place that you live, because your jury members are going to come from the same place you live. And even whether they think the cop is good or bad, very few people in their right mind will publicly be seen coming out against a cop. Why? Because he might go to jail, but his boy is still on the force. And he knows who you are. I'll give you a prime example. When I was in Riverdale, Georgia,
mm-hmm.
you know, this was my
right.
first time in Georgia getting arrested. This was in 2008, right? Got arrested.
Think you've been arrested, though?
Hey, man, look. Hey, mind your business. Listen. you know, what's the common excuse? Man, it was some bullshit.
Right.
But the cop impounded my car. And when he was trying to get the car impounded, he dropped the keys. I watched him drop the keys in the squad car. Couldn't find them by the time the guy got there, so he just let him take the car on. And he went on and proceeded to say that, no, he gave the keys to the guy. Because now, at this point, the car's been sitting in impound. You know, they charge it every day. You know, and I mean, it just this went on and on until finally we just had to literally go up there. Me, the chief at the station, and one of the trustees went through every car, because I said, this was the car that we were in. He was like, that's not the car that was assigned to that officer. I said, well, he signed out the wrong car, because I'm telling you, this was the car, because it had a very significant scratch on the car that I remember. And sure as my name is Nick Eden, they found the key. And he's like, well, listen, here's the thing about it. I don't know why he was not in the car he was assigned, but do you want to file a report? I said, absolutely not. He said, are you sure? I said, sir, I live here. There's no way I'm about to file a complaint against this cop here. Because if he gets reprimanded and he doesn't come after me,
right,
his boys
somebody
will.
Else.
And that, and unfortunately, with and like you said, not all cops are bad, but it's the ones that are bad, man, they are really, really bad. Like,
oh yeah, they get down.
And at that point, you have to worry about the, your safety, your family's safety, and it's like, is it worth it? That's why for some of those jurors, that's why for a lot of people, it's worth it to just say, you know what? I didn't see anything, or he's not guilty.
Yeah.
And that's the unfortunate state. That's the unfortunate state that we live in now with police, because you never know when you're going to run into the cop that's deciding that tonight is going to be your last night breathing.
Yep. Wow. Speaking of other cops, since you said that, you know, the officer Daniel Holzclaw, the serial rapist, and how you were saying as far as being judged by a jury of your peers, when he was actually given his sentence and they got him up and he walked over towards the judge or whatever, and it looks like he, from the video, it looked like he said, "How could you do that?" to that jury that he had. And I guess he was expecting to get off from
you know
a jury of his peers.
Why wouldn't he?
Now, before you get too far into that story, to all our listeners out there, if you would like to get into the conversation or talk about something that stood out to you in 2015, the number to dial is 646-564-9698. That's 564-9698. That's 646-564-9698. And break down the story of Daniel Holzclaw to everybody if they're just tuning in, just hearing about this.
Well, Daniel Holzclaw is an officer who was employed in Oklahoma City, who was recently charged with rape and was sentenced to 363 years in prison. And so, of course, the media did not do a lot of publicity on it, but he raped over 13 women. Only 13 women actually came to the forefront and testified against him, but they're suspecting that there were more women over the time in which he was an officer and when she was doing these acts that he possibly have raped, which I believe, too. I believe he raped more than 13 women. And the age range was from 17 or 18 all the way up to 55, 56. And and during the, you know, the actual hearing, you know, towards the end of it, you know, he was looking kind of confident. He was calm, you know, during some of the trial. Didn't seem like anything fazed him until he actually heard the verdict. And once he heard the verdict, all of a sudden he wants to cry. He wants to feel sorry.
I'm just trying to understand, where did he even get the notion that that was just cool, man? Like, it was okay. Like, where did they think that, okay, we're going to touch a black woman and ain't nobody going to be outraged by it anyway? They ain't hitting on nothing.
You
want to go
after
black women?
You want
to
know why?
After a grandma.
You want to know why, Kev? Well, they've been doing it for years.
Yep, that's right.
It's been common for years. Here's one. If you want to know how common it is, one of my favorite shows on television is Law & Order, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you remember the original Law & Order, remember, Law & Order has been around since like late 80s, early 90s. It's been around for a long time. Go back and look at some of those earlier shows before they started making SVU all about sex crimes, and it was just the one Law & Order show, and they did everything. There were at least two shows that I can remember off top where they arrested and convicted a cop for the almost identical crime.
Mm.
That's what they do. They go into these lower income areas, they intimidate people, and they run amok on them. I mean, they made shows about it. It was so common. It's common. It's common not only with people in inner cities, it's common with sex workers. You know, you're thinking that they're supposed to be out there putting sex workers, you know, behind bars, and they're out there getting freebies. Like, it's common. It's been going on for years. What I don't get is why we are surprised That's what I don't get. If anything, I'm surprised that he got convicted.
I mean,
convicted.
But you know, I mean, the thing
is, I was just surprised if he was.
I feel you. As far as even with him getting evicted, I mean, convicted, he should have been evicted out of his job. But the thing about it is, like, the general public, I mean, just the average person, black, white, or whatever in America, we know that the cops have it. We know that some cops have issues.
Right.
You know, we know that humans in general have issues. But you wouldn't expect somebody to go around raping grandmas, just raping women, just raping just because they got that badge on. This seemed like something out of a movie more than just something that happened in real life, man. That's crazy.
Well, I tell you that, you know, I think he felt like he was above the law, and probably some of his buddies, you know, was in his ear saying nothing was going to happen to you. But as you can see, you know, justice did prevail for these women. And, you know, hopefully some of the other ladies who were victims will come out, you know, hopefully and tell you something about that as well. And, you know, I just feel sorry for the family of these victims because they have to be there to try to console their family members and help them get through this process, which can be very difficult. A lot of times people need treatment, counseling, therapy. You know, some end up on medication because they don't know how to deal with it. And so now, you know, I hope that this was a sign of relief for these people. And like I said, just as they prefer. I see we do have a caller who's waiting.
It's just happened. Caller, you got me. I was supposed to screen it, but thank you. Caller, you're live, 612, Middleman Talk Show. What's up?
Good evening, brother.
Where you calling?
Sir?
Hey, what's going on? Where you calling from, brother? What's your name and where you calling from?
My name's Marcus, calling from Minnesota.
Hey, Marcus, what's going
on,
brother?
Hey, Marcus, how you doing?
Doing great, man. It's good. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Most definitely.
All right.
You got a comment?
Yes, sir. I had a question for you guys, and maybe you could both answer this. I was wondering, do you guys think, is there any scientific evidence for the existence of God?
Not that I'm aware of.
No.
None that I'm aware of, brother.
Both of you are saying no, or?
Yeah,
no,
both.
There
basically, there's no evidence.
Okay. Are you, would you consider yourselves like agnostic or atheist, or what's your viewpoint?
Neither at this point in time. I'm still searching.
Okay. Do you guys have like a religious background growing up at all, or were you just sort of secular, or how did you guys sort of?
I mean, if you're born in the South, I mean, pretty much all of us were born in the South. Well, we grew up in a church, but of course, as you get older, you learn more, you learn different, you read more, you do more research. And once you do more research, I mean, hey, you know, you're open to learning a lot more.
But you're still coming to, you still make a personal decision based on your personal faith.
Exactly.
For my example, I am a Christian. I do believe in God. And while no, there is no scientific evidence that proves there's a God, there's no scientific evidence that proves that there's such a thing as love, but it's still there. So it's just a matter of your personal beliefs. It's a matter of your personal faith.
Okay, and for the other brother too, you are you a Christian as well, or are you maybe undecided?
I am a Christian.
Also, both of you are Christians.
No, that was just Nick, our co-host. But Mark, I would like to ask, what's the reason? What's your rationale behind the question?
Well, I just I try to ask this because I'm a former atheist myself, and I'm a Christian, and I try to talk to people and see if they're aware of there being scientific evidence. And it seems like the more people I talk to, the opinion on the uniform is seems to be that people say no. And I'm interested to see why is that? And
well, you know, one thing I would like for you to do, Marcus, man, when we have shows that will cover religion, but at this particular time, and no disrespect to you by any means, but we appreciate you listening and calling. But, you know, we would like to, you know, we're just talking about things that happened in 2015. And, you know, I know religion is a big part for a lot of people with the Pope and other things that happen in churches and things of that nature. But at this particular time, we are just covering a couple of things on the topic. Would you like to comment on any of the topics that we're covering today?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say it like this. I mean, if God doesn't exist, then everything would be ultimately meaningless. And if he did exist, then nothing would matter more than getting to know him. Would you not agree?
Well, if you look back at the dates of... Oh, let me finish this off, Kevin. If you look back as far as how the Bible was created, which was over 2,000 years ago, the Earth has been in existence for over tens or 20, maybe millions of years. And then you can actually go and read more information over in the Kemetic sciences. You can actually go to Africa and tour all of that and find out a lot of stuff about that. So we definitely appreciate your call. And
hey man, matter of fact, Mark is just called in because we're going to do a show about religion. We got friends from different faiths, different background, things of that nature. We appreciate you tonight.
Yep.
But man, let's keep it moving, brother. Let's keep it moving, man. Where we left off at? Where did we leave off at? Before we got let's wind down.
Well, let's go to the $15 minimum wage. Fight for $15 because I think this is something that, you know, really hits home with Nicholas Eaton, and we definitely about to get into it with that. So
let me say this. This year has don't laugh at me. Let me break it down for all our listeners out there. Everybody, for whatever reason, y'all think that my opinion is just no, screw them, they don't need any more money. That's not the case at all.
It is, man.
This is what I honestly believe in terms of this whole fight for 15. I question the motive behind it. I question, you know, from especially seeing that it was birthed in a fast food environment. And this is from someone, before anybody says that I can't judge. This is from someone who worked in fast food and fine dining as an adult. What I will say is this. The people that are out there rallying, not going to work, and saying, oh, we're fighting for $15 an hour, let me break down three very important things for you. While you're at work, there's a sign on the window that says, we're hiring every Monday. McDonald's hires every Tuesday. Arby's hires every Monday. Burger King hires every Wednesday. That's the first thing. And not to mention, those machines are on the way. That's a whole nother show. The second thing is, even if you got $15 an hour, there is not, with the exception of shift and salaried managers, anyone within those fast food systems that is guaranteed to work a full 40 hours a week. So what they would really and truly do is cut back even more than they cut back on the hours now.
Right.
That's the second thing. The third thing, and I'm not being funny when I say this, and anybody who's been to restaurants, fast food or fine dining, will know what I mean by this. If you go in there and do your job to the best of your ability, I promise you it will not be difficult to stand out amongst your peers. And it will not be difficult to be promoted within that job, because here's the reality. The national average... let's just use McDonald's for an example. The national average for a manager at McDonald's is higher than $15 an hour. So while you're out there trying to fight hard for the bare minimum, if you went above and beyond, you would have a better chance at standing out and moving up. And that's the reality of it. And I say that from the experience of being someone who started off as the burger flipper at McDonald's, who was offered and turned down management in McDonald's, who worked for TGI Fridays for 5 years, who was in management at TGI Fridays. And let me tell you something, those salaries and those bonuses for managers in fine dining, oh, they are definitely lovely. This is someone
so hold on,
who
man.
Has
let's
worked
get on
within
me,
those
bro. Hold on, Nick. Nick, you on a roll. I got to jump in. You already done body slammed the topic. You done DDT the topic. You done power bombed the topic. So let me play the other side of that fence, Nick. Let me play the other side of that fence. Listen to me, Nick. There are things that we do not. I mean, I respect your argument. I respect what you're saying in regards to the aspect of the work in general. But let's talk about the cost of living. Let's talk about inflation. I got some facts over here, Nick, from the Pew
research internet.
I can't wait for you to spit out these facts. I already know where you're going, and I'm about to do another fight. I'm about to do a Macho Man elbow drop off the top rope. But go ahead.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Go ahead.
$7.25 an hour. The federal minimum wage has lost about 8.1% of its purchasing power due to inflation. That's 8.1%, Nate. In actuality, we should be paying people $12 an hour due to the inflation that we have right now, Nate. $12 an hour. Number two, Nate, nearly half of the 48.2% of the 3 million hourly workers who were at or below the federal minimum wage in 2014 were ages between 16 and 24. Hence, what you're saying about the people getting a job at McDonald's. That is a beginning job. I understand that as a starter job.
I didn't even say that was a starter job. I don't believe that that's a starter job.
I'm going off previous conversation, Nick. Previous conversations.
I never said it was a starter job.
Hold on, Nick. An additional 22.4% of those are between 25 and 34. Now, 16 to 19, I have no problem with them making $7.25 because guess what? 9 out of 10 times, they're either beginning college or about to leave the house. So they're just stacked money. But when we got grown people that don't have the opportunity to get a job because the jobs are going overseas that are 25 to 34, you cannot live at that wage, Nick. Show me one person that can live off that as a livable wage. And another thing, just to add on to that, 29 states plus the District of Columbia have already doubled their wages, Nick. So tell me, why can't the federal minimum wage be higher, Nick?
So here's the thing about it. First and foremost, you're absolutely right. And this is the reality is, federal minimum wage is a gift to some states and a curse to others. Let's use Georgia as an example. The state minimum wage in Georgia is still $5.15 an hour. The federal minimum wage is of a benefit at that point. However, if you live in Washington State, where the state minimum wage is in fact $12, the federal minimum wage is a curse. Now, here's the reality of it. You say it should be $12. From someone who did work when I was in management training and I was making $12.50 an hour, let me explain to you something. $12.50 an hour is still not a livable wage. And the reality is, $15 an hour is not a livable wage. It's not.
If you factor in living in poverty,
You factor in living in a place that does not have a mass transit system, it is not a livable wage. That's what I hate about those statistics, because they don't break them down by region. They use a blanket statement over all of it. Now, I'd like to quote a friend of mine on Facebook by the name of Bob Evans, and I think this probably sums up my feelings on it the most, and I'll leave it alone after this. He said, if you make $9 an hour, you need to make another $240 a week to get to 15, assuming a 40-hour work week. Make it yourself. Start your own small business. Don't wait for the man to hand you money. Earn it now. Earn it first. Try, think, produce. Mow lawns. Clean houses. eBay, Etsy, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter. Paint faces. Make balloon animals. Sing, dance, announce, contribute. There's a million ways to do it. Don't wait for a savior. Be your own.
I agree, Nick. But, you know, I'm going to tell you like this. That's the same thing as saying, if you want to fly, you can fly. Would you trust somebody with a low IQ and that chair of a pilot when you're going from here to Las Vegas? Just because of that theory, would you agree with that?
Based on that theory, the Wright brothers didn't have a precursor to them. They had to figure it out.
Yes, it did.
What I'm saying is this, and you guys have known me for years. You know this is my mantra. You do what it is that you want to do. Because, see, here's the reality. we can talk about this fight for 15. We can talk about this all day and these non-livable wages. But you're also speaking to someone who has done work for and with people on government assistance, people in low-income areas. And let me tell you one thing that is very prevalent in all those places. If I ever want to know what the new iPhone looks like, it's there. If I ever want to know when the new Jordans are coming out, ask somebody there. If I ever want to know when the new... Because here's the reality of it. The reality of it is, as black consumers, we still spend $1 trillion a year. It ain't rich people spending all that money like that. We'll spend our money on BS, but then say you don't have enough money for rent. But you on time for free before 11, but you can't be on time at 11 at McDonald's. And that's my biggest issue.
But that ain't,
and
you're everybody.
Sitting up here, and we're going. That's not everybody.
No.
And you're right. That's not everybody.
Nah, that's a blanket statement,
brother. Here's the reality. The people that are like, you know what, I'm going out there and I'm gonna get it, are not at those rallies. Would they be happy with $15 an hour? I'm pretty sure they would. I absolutely think that they would. But I also know that they're not gonna go out there and rally for it. They're gonna go out there and get it.
Nick, check this out, y'all. We have a listener that's over on the web chat. I am the universe. They stated that McDonald's employees in Holland earn $20 an hour. They also said progressive taxation is slavery. And they have a quote from Ezra Pound, which says, "War in old times were made to get slaves. The modern implement of imposing slavery is debt." You can't get out of debt when you ain't making no money, Nick.
Let me tell you something. Hold on, Nick, we can go there. Because here's the reality. I know a whole bunch of people that don't make $15 an hour, don't make these big salaries, but they are debt-free. You want to know why? Because they do not spend outside their means. And that's the reality. Because at a certain point, personal accountability has to come into play. And why would you fight so hard for the minimum? If you can organize, here's the reality. If you can organize something as big as a nationwide initiative for Fight for 15, why could you not organize something similar in crowdfunding, something similar in some form of fundraiser to build up money for these people? Establish a grant program. If you can organize like that, why would you put that much energy towards getting the bare minimum? I don't understand.
I will say this. I agree, but you got to look at the people that are organizing. They are not the ones that probably ain't working at the fast food place. They're just a vehicle for them to get this. You know what I'm saying?
Which goes to my original point. What's their motivation? Let's be honest. Look at this, though, Nick.
I tell you, I don't understand the motivation. I mean, just to make sure and ensure that people the have-nots can have. But in the same breath, I saw a video of a man that was part of the organization for Fight for 15. He said, look, I fought in the war overseas. I was overseas fighting for America. I came back. This is my skill set. I enjoy working in the kitchen. But for my time, I would like to be paid properly for the work that I do.
Yeah.
Hold on, Nick. Who is to say that his time is not worth $15 an hour? Because remember, before we regulated the hourly workers, people were out here working. They had children working before we had all these laws that came in after the fact. We had children working. We had old people working for 20, 40 hours for pennies on the dollar.
You see what I'm saying? So we have to have some type of standard. And I saw that brother, and I absolutely agree. Here's the reality. And see, this is why I get into it, I think, y'all so much, because I see it on the other side. You're absolutely right. I don't think that he should be at McDonald's in the kitchen. He loves being in the kitchen. I don't think he should be at McDonald's fighting for $15 an hour. I think he should be at TGI Fridays making $15 an hour, because that's what they're paying the cooks. But here's one. Why is it that for the last 2 years that I was a manager at TGI Fridays, I couldn't get a full line of cooks? And the ones I had, I could barely get them in there on time. And the absolute lowest we were paying, and that was for people who did not finish with some form of training in culinary arts, was $12.50 an hour.
to press. Mm-hmm. So the jobs are out there, but once again, you got to get off your ass and look. Here's one. Here's a military vet. Le Cordon Bleu has a scholarship program for military vets who want to get a degree in culinary arts. You have to get out there and look for it. It's not going to come and sit in your lap. And this is, and I'm telling you, the only reason, that I'm saying these things, and you're right, he is one example. But the reason that I am saying these things is plain and simple because I have been in hospitality for so long, and I have seen so many people who will get in there and not even want to try. I had people working under me who would not go into management. You want to know why? Because they were like, I make more money waiting tables than I would be a manager because I come in here every day and I bust my ass. My old GM, and I think I told you about this before, my old GM, when I started at TGI Fridays, he sat us down before we opened that store and he said, look, you guys are the wait staff. You're the front line. You're the people that the customers interact with the most. You're also the person who makes the least amount of money on paper here. You make $2.13 an hour, which means your tips are going to be your lifeblood. If you have a section that is three, four, five tables, that table, that section, I want you to look at it like that is your business. At TGI Fridays, we are simply distributors of the product, but that is your business. And you have to get in there and you have to market your business. You have to sell your business. You got to upsell drinks. You got to give them the best service. And I promise you, if you do that for them, 9 times out of 10, you will be rewarded for it. And he sent us into the field charged up like that, and we went out there and we killed it. We killed it. And that's the reality, man. You got to take, you have to take responsibility and make the best of your situation or go and find a better situation. And don't tell me that they're not out there.
Oh, man. Oh, no. We're going to stop right there because me and you, we're going to carry on bad about this. Y'all keep tuning in. We're going to do a show about this because this needed, because we didn't ate up a lot of our times with this one. So we're going to talk about this on a show. Nick, we're going to do a show. We got a couple of people that said they couldn't get in. Make sure you dial 646-564-9698. We do have a new number. And shout out to I Am the Universe over on our web chat. We appreciate you for listening in. They're talking about personal industry. You know, hey, man, they dropping some bombs over here. I know if I get into this, Nick and I will continue on with this. But let me get into the presidential. Yes, sir. I know you're passionate. I am too. Let's get into this presidential race. I know we're expecting Jen to get in here to drop some knowledge on what she thought about these candidates. But the first person we're needing to discuss is our possibility, could be possible, the next president of the United States, Donald Dump the Trump. What do y'all got on this presidential race, man? What stood out to you guys in 2015 about this beginning of the race?
America did not prepare for President Obama leaving. And here's this is the reason I say that. If you look at just in our lifetime, let's look at our time, okay? Let's start with Reagan. I think that's a good place to start.
Mm-hmm.
What happened when there was not a next step? When there was not a next step, we got Bush.
We got Bush, yep.
You get what I'm saying? That's the last time we weren't prepared, which is why Bush only lasted 4 years.
Yeah, one term. Mm-hmm.
America got prepared. We got Clinton. We got Clinton. We kept Clinton. Clinton was getting ready to leave. We thought we were prepared with Gore.
Mm-hmm.
But we had another Bush that came up. And, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, he stole the White House. And we so daggone forgiven that we let that happen. And then we let it happen
for the
second time.
Yep.
So we got prepared again. I think that everybody at that point was so prepared. And I remember during John Kerry's run, you guys remember when Barack Obama gave the speech introducing him at the Democratic National Convention. And everybody said, he's going to get it if he runs.
Yep.
He's got it. He's got that X factor. And here comes Hillary. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, Hillary's going to get it. Here's gonna... And then when he came in, it was like, ooh. So then it was like, man, hold up. We really are. We've been prepared since then. We're not prepared now. Yep. We are not prepared. And let me tell you, and this is someone who I support, Bernie Sanders. I contributed to his campaign. Out of everybody that we have presented before us, I believe that he would be the best choice. Everybody says, oh, he's a little too radical. We need radical in the White House right about
now.
But I personally believe that he would be the best choice. But I also believe that this is the worst group of presidential candidates that we have ever had, and Donald Trump is the personification of that. He is the absolute personification of the worst of the worst. It's like somebody took all the Facebook comments in the world and made them into a person, put a tie on them and said, run for president.
The majority of the people that are supporting Donald Trump are not even in his tax bracket, not even people that Donald Trump will possibly even shake hands with. And so when I was talking earlier about the misconception of the media, you have a lot of those people who only watch a certain type of news. And, of course, on that certain type of news, they always talk about Trump. And Trump got this slogan, make America,
great
again, you know. And so, you know, a lot of those people, you know, especially with some of the comments that he made, felt like he was talking about, you know, make America white again. And so, those supporters, they have been supporting him to the highest degree and probably will continue to support him. But like you said, Nick, you know, I've been watching and, you know, reading up on Bernie Sanders, and I do like some of the things that he has been saying. I do like some of the things he's been doing. You know, he's not getting a lot of media coverage for some of the places that he does go and talk to. But, of course, in our forefront of what we see, we only see Donald Trump. And so it's like there's like a big push for that. And even though the Republican, I forgot the guy's name, that actually said something against Donald Trump when he said to stop all Muslims from entering the country or whatever.
But which one?
He was saying that, you know, he pretty much was like, you know, that's not a representation of the Republican, you know, party.
Oh, you're talking about Paul Ryan.
All of that.
Yeah, Paul Ryan.
And so, but still, that still hasn't changed anything. That still hasn't changed his voters' percentile as far as his support, you know, people who support him and things like that. You know, and he's still leading, which he probably will end up possibly being, you know, the front runner of the Republican candidacy. So
I don't think so. I don't think so. And Kev, I know you're about to jump in on this for a second, but I do want to point out something real quick. Here's the first thing. I think a lot of times we get sucked into those. I know I do. We get sucked into those polls, and we had this discussion on the show before. Well, first and foremost, they polled maybe 800 people. It's 310. How many Americans is it? What is it, 310 million?
Yeah.
It's 310
million.
But
the other guy that's right behind him, he's not even American. I mean, he's born in Canada.
Well, okay. Yeah. So here's the deal. Let's not forget that once some of the hoopla started to simmer down a little bit about Trump, that Ben Carson started to rise in the polls. And in some places, he actually passed Donald Trump. The reality is, as much as it sounds right, Republicans are not going to put a black president in the office.
Exactly.
Let's just be honest. Ben Carson is going to be another Herman Cain. And then the problem was, they messed around and they let Ben Carson speak. And when they let Ben Carson speak, that's when they realize, oh my God, there is a difference between book sense and common sense, and he doesn't have common sense.
Exactly.
Ted Cruz was the next best option. This is the reality of the Republicans right now. They're actually pushing to try to figure out how to get Trump off the ticket, but they're so scared that he's going to pull another Ross Perot and essentially hand the presidency to Clinton, Ross Perot handed the presidency to Clinton. They're trying their best to hold on, but they're pulling back. They're holding on, but they're pulling back.
I can see that.
If you've noticed, they have pushed Ted Cruz more and more.
Because let's be honest, a month ago, people were saying, oh, Ted Cruz
might as well go ahead and bow out now.
He wasn't even in the main debate 2 debates ago.
When are we going to speak about Ted being from Canada, though?
Well, okay.
That's the thing.
When is
the birthers going to come out about that?
The birthers aren't going to come out about that because his mother is a natural born citizen, so that's where they're going to come with it.
But he was born on Canadian soil, so he is a Canadian citizen.
You're absolutely right. But he's also, and you have to look at the law. See, this is how they twist it, right? How they twisted it without people, how they twisted it before was saying, because it never says that someone who is not a natural born citizen is disqualified from being president. They just tried to use that in the case of President Obama, even though he was born on U.S. soil. Even though he was born on U.S. soil. The fact that Cruz's mother is a natural born U.S. citizen is what puts him in contention to be president of the United States. Because
I'm waiting to see how they're
going to
play out.
If it were not the case, and trust me, it won't play out because, and a lot of people don't realize this, the first time that Mitt Romney ran, and in the primary he was against John McCain, he brought that up in John McCain's birth. And see, nobody talked about that while John McCain was running against President Barack Obama.
Yep.
Mitt Romney brought that up, and Mitt Romney almost won the Republican primary the first time, and we almost didn't even get to see McCain versus Obama.
Right.
And let's be honest, one of the other reasons that they would have tried to push it by now is because they would have tried to get Arnold Schwarzenegger as president.
Yeah, they would have gave it to him.
That's the reality. But the reality
is, you know what, though?
They don't have anybody strong enough. Let me tell you who they want. Who they want is Paul Ryan. Where they messed up was they made him Speaker of the House, and traditionally that never equates to presidency. He was not strong enough at the time to run on his own. That's who they want.
That dude
but
a loony.
He's not strong enough.
That dude is a loony. But you know who else I'm not liking? You know who else I'm not liking? I'm definitely not liking Hillary Clinton. I wish Jen was on the phone so she could hear me say that. I think she, I don't know how she feels about it. But I don't like her. And the majority of the people that I know that when I speak to them, they look at it like when we say something about Bernie Sanders, and I'm still watching him, he seems kind of loony at times, but when he used the word socialist, it throws a lot of people off with him. And we as American citizens do not realize that the majority of everything in this country is found off socialism.
Socialism.
If you understand the root meaning of the word.
That's the problem. Most people don't, let's be honest, most people don't understand the meaning of the word socialism. They don't. They may understand capitalism, maybe. They don't understand communism. They don't understand most isms. The average person doesn't understand most isms.
Right.
So I'm,
that's true.
That, man, we're gonna have to follow up on this right here. We don't want to get too long in the tooth. I know we're getting close to the end time right here. Let's quickly get into let's do this Black Twitter, man. We're gonna have to let you have that. Cause I was confused. What is Black Twitter? I don't even know what that is. And hold on, all the people that just tuning in on the internet, that's listening on the phone lines, we're talking about things that we didn't get the chance to talk to you guys about in 2015. If you go to our website, blogtalkradio.com/the middleman, you will see a couple of topics that we want to cover, top 10 for us, that we didn't get the chance to talk to you guys about until now. So let's get into this Black Twitter with Nick Eden, because I don't know what it is.
All right. So, here's the thing about Black Twitter, man. Okay, we know that Twitter has become a monster in terms of algorithms, in terms of determining, you know, popularity and things. And, you know, as we tend to do as a people, we kind of took Twitter and made it our own. So
right.
Within a given year, and this probably started, I want to say, around 2011, 2012, okay? The most popular hashtags on and the most popular trends on Twitter when they broke them down by demographic, African American Twitter users accounted for about 70% of the most popular trends and hashtags per year. Now, this has grown since then. I don't know what the numbers are this year because obviously they haven't, you know, tallied up everything for 2015. But it's been personalized and personified in the form of Black Twitter. And basically, when something hits the news, you know, how it's perceived online is usually determined by Black Twitter. I'll give you here's one that we have covered on the Middlemen Talk Show in recent years. Ask R. Kelly, if you guys remember that.
Yeah.
Now, that was a product of Black Twitter. The whole Pill Cosby trend that went on a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
That was Bill Cosby. Thanksgiving with Black families. That was Black Twitter. The most recent one that I absolutely, it kills me, is Civil Rights Twitter. Like, I'm sorry. That's and that's some Black people that's upset with me for sharing some of those bits. I don't care. That's hilarious. So the thing about it is, now that we know that we have this power, and it's now getting media coverage, and let me also say that the hashtag Black Lives Matter was birthed within Black Twitter as well.
That's right.
So
that's right.
This is something that clearly we have seen has power. As of now, we can't monetize on it. We can't monetize it. But it is something that shows the power that we have within social media, our reach, our coverage. You know, it's really just a culmination of everything that we've known for years. Once we hop on something, everybody else hops on it because it's now popular. And that's what Black Twitter is, Kev. That's what Black Twitter is.
I didn't know, so okay. I was confused. I was trying to figure it out. I really don't
know. you know, here's a couple of Patti LaBelle. If that doesn't show the buying power, Black Twitter, when James Wright did that video, Twitter and Facebook is what was sharing it the most. Black Twitter. Look what that did for those sales. Rachel Dolezal with her Ask Rachel, with the Ask Rachel hashtag. You know, so that's what Black Twitter is.
Okay.
I think that a lot.
Well, let's get to the next subject real quick. And, Alan, you know, with you and your picking over there, man, God.
Really?
Sir.
No,
sir. Stop typing so loud, sir. You'll need to mute this boy. Let's get into this, the Million Man March, man. Back in 1995, some of you were just being born, some of you were around. Blacks in America came to unify under one umbrella of change to our society, change to our communities, change to our women, children. We made a pledge to say we were going to change. In 2015, we had the Million Man March again. Now, this was the 20th anniversary, y'all, and I think the media tried to downplay this one. I mean, there were no major outlets really even carrying this, which I was amazed by. So there's some things I wanted to, you know, kind of dive into when I was thinking about the Million Man March. Now, I'm looking at Farrakhan, Minister Farrakhan. He is 82 years old. Mm-hmm. I think this is the last Million Man March we're going to see of him. My question is, what's next for the nation and who's going to be the next leader? I haven't seen anybody that they've been kind of promoting for the next person, for the leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that we need a Farrakhan type. I really don't think we need a Farrakhan type. I think we need Farrakhan types, plural, meaning that we need a lot more than just one, because what happens is, when certain entities in America or in this world start targeting certain people, they target that one that stands out. Just like I heard one guy, he was fussing about Al Sharpton like he's the black leader. Really? Just like the other dude, Jesse Jackson. He's not a black leader. He's just somebody in the front leading blacks, I guess. I don't know.
Exactly.
But
well,
what do you think? What are we gonna what are we gonna do about what they gonna do about another leader, man? I haven't seen them talk about anything about bringing up another leader.
Let me tell you why. You haven't had this much hostility towards people of the Islamic faith since the days of Malcolm X. And
yeah.
I think that anybody in that position to stand up is probably waiting it out just a little bit for
yeah.
fear of their
life.
I don't think it's going to go anywhere.
I mean, for the last past since 2001, they've been each year they've been ramping it up. Each year it gets worse and worse. You know what I'm saying? So one other thing that doesn't correlate with a lot of people too. The majority in this country don't associate blacks with being Muslim.
Not anymore.
No, they don't.
Not anymore.
They don't even realize that.
Not anymore. But think about back in the 60s. Think about back in the 60s. You had it about 50-50. Because and this is the reason that I think it's a good thing. Now we can take it off of, you know, I don't like the whole leader title. I think it's a thing where different people step up for different reasons. You know, I like the things that Michael Bazin does. He uses his social media platform very well. I you know, a lot of people don't like him, but I like what Steve Harvey does. He uses his media platform very well in terms of benefiting us as a people. I think if there were to be someone who is a quote-unquote leader among us, I would think that the heir apparent would be Dr. Umar Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody right now.
Right. We need a whole lot more of him.
Mm-hmm. There are others out there that are doing a lot of teaching and speaking on a lot of things. And you know, they don't get the media coverage as, you know, certain people. But if you're on YouTube, you can pretty much, you know, YouTube a lot of people.
Absolutely right.
Yeah. This is the reason that I say Dr. Umar Johnson, because first you have to look at his pedigree. We are talking about a direct descendant of Frederick Douglass. So the pedigree is there. The resume is there. In his various levels of education, what he's done within education, particularly within the misdiagnosis of ADHD among black and Latino born.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Then you also have to look at the fact that everything he speaks on, he does, and don't get me wrong, this is not a shot at any of our other leaders that we've had in the past. If you ask him about his faith, he'll tell you he believes in God. But his teachings, his speeches, they're not faith-based, they're fact-based. So it's very hard to dispute the things that he says without extensive research. And even then, more often than not, once you do that extensive research, you'll find, whether you like to admit it or not, that he is right. He doesn't do a lot of opinion-based teaching. He's very much so fact-based. And I think once you take away your opposition's argument, that puts you in position to be, and he's a very outspoken brother. But he's also very understanding. He's been outspoken, and the one thing that will probably hurt him in the short run is how people think that he feels about people that are gay, which he counsels people that are gay. But he's just not apologetic in his feelings.
Right.
Yeah,
I respect
unapologetically
that.
Black.
You know, one thing that I want to speak about with the Million Man March is that the whole aspect of justice or else. And I got a couple of stats that I want to throw out from the Million Man March. You know, back in 1995, the estimate from the Park Association said there was 400,000 people that attended. Now, you and I, if you were born back in 95, you knew it was more than that.
Absolutely.
Independent study said there was an estimate of 800,000, which we know there were over probably a million something people out there. The previous one that they just had the Parks and Recreation refused to even say how many people attended. Now, I understand the fact the slogan of justice or else. Unemployment rate back in 1995 was 8.1%. Unemployment rate for blacks in 2015 is 8.9%. Back in 1995, the graduation rate for blacks were 73.4%. 2004, as of 2004, is 84.3%. So we increased on the graduation rate. Now, in 1994, out of 3.5 million arrests, 30.9% were black. 30.9% were black. As of 2013, 28% were black. So we're actually decreasing in crime and increasing in education. So we have seen something significant that happened since 1995, since we had this movement. So therefore, do y'all somewhat kind of predict in the next 10 years we may see another uptake in us doing better, but at the same time, it alludes to what Nick said, we have to create our own? Do we have to go that route? And do y'all see an uptake from this march? Is it helpful, justice or else?
I think with the education factor, yes, I do believe it's going to increase, but I also feel like the support of black business and other minority-owned businesses will definitely need to increase to make those numbers look better, because you can have a lot of, you know, kids that graduate from college, but they're not necessarily utilizing their degrees in their field of work. And so that was part of the discussion earlier this year. And so I do feel like since there is a lot of ways that you can become an independent worker for yourself due to, you know, the expansion of the internet, media base, the apps, all those type of things, a lot of people are actually getting to the point where they are, you know, wanting to be more of a business owner type situation. And so hopefully, maybe with this or else, because I follow there's a group up in Detroit called New Era Detroit, and what they're doing is they are practicing the or else situation. If you are not fulfilling your need to the community, such as providing services for everyone, no matter of race, they will come and protest you. If you discriminate against somebody, they will come and protest and shut you down. It has been working for them. They have recently traveled to Chicago and did protests and shut-ins, and it has worked. And I've seen other people, you know, across, you know, the United States take on, mm-hmm. you know, certain things that New Era Detroit has been doing. But with our children, I do feel like, and this is just my opinion, you know, when I get ready to have kids, I want my child to start his own business doing something at the age of 12 and 13. You know, he can be the best lemonade stand, make a, you know, whatever. I do want his mind to get to the point to where he can understand finances, work, and doing something that you love to do and make money off of it.
I said a bunch of times, and I got two girls.
Oh, okay. Well,
so
he or she.
That's cool, but you know one thing too, Al, I just hope that some of the philosophies from the or else, I hope that our community will embrace it and adapt it. You know, I think that's very important for us to either understand we got to stand up on our own, as we were saying earlier,
yep.
be your own leader.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So let's be our own leader behind that. Now, the next topic that we're going to get into, and I think we're going to get these last two and we're going to shut it down, true American terrorists. Now, these are American-born terrorists. You know, one thing that in America, we do not associate terrorism with the Caucasian, or the white person. We don't really identify that. But
mm-hmm.
within the last 20 so odd years,
mm-hmm.
we've had buildings blown up. The first
yep.
bombing in America from the air was done to who? Black Wall Street by the police.
Mm-hmm.
The
yep.
bombing in Cleveland.
Right.
We got the churches that are being bombed in Birmingham. We have the churches that are being shot up in South Carolina. So we have terrorism. When are we going
right. to
get to the point where we're going to call terrorism in America what it is. The Ku Klux Klan, they're terrorists.
The hate group.
Mm-hmm. Within the last decade, we always saying we need to go overseas and bomb somebody. Within the last decade, only 24 Americans have been killed within the last decade by terrorists on American soil. Suspected terrorists, not confirmed, suspected. Now, me and Al were throwing around some stats before the show. There was an estimated 153,144 people killed by firearms from 2001 into 2013. That's not police related. That's not a police kill. Within from 2001 to 2014, 3,046 people in the U.S. have been killed by possible terrorists. That's not saying they were terrorists. 219 people per year were killed by terrorists. That's around the world.
Right.
Now, if we add in the cops, we include legal killings by cops. They call them legal killings. That number jumps up to 394,912. What the world is going on? American terrorists. What are we going to do about it? Why don't we have laws that protect us from these groups? Why don't the FBI go in and raid them like they did the Black Panthers? Why don't they go into the police department? Once again, I'm not demonizing our police, but you know y'all got some Klan members in those departments.
And that's the reason why it hasn't happened.
Can we break down the definition of terrorism? Terrorism is defined as the use of violence and threats to intimidate or coerce, especially for political purposes. So, with the official definition of terrorism, let's start with our first terrorist on American soil, Christopher Columbus.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
You know,
matter of fact, hey, we ain't going to say American soil, Nick. We're going to say the Caribbean because you know that fool got lost.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Right. I mean, let's look at people like Timothy McVeigh. Let's look at the D.C. sniper. Even though he was black, it's still terrorism. And I think what has gotten to me is we've used terrorism only to describe an attack. And let's be honest, we only use terrorism to describe an attack by someone of Arabic descent or Islamic faith. Anything else is a mental disease. It is a thug or a criminal. It is a misguided person, but if they are of Arabic descent or Islamic faith, they are automatically centered as the lone terrorist in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the reality of terrorism at home. If you want to talk about terrorism at home, let's talk about the police. Let's talk about the KKK. Let's talk about the neo-Nazis. Let's talk about these things because those are terrorists.
The gang members, don't forget the gang members. We got to throw the gang members in there.
Let's talk about the gang members. Absolutely. Let's talk about the gang members. Even though the Bloods and Crips were originally designed to protect neighborhoods from the then terrorists.
Right. But let's talk about Congress, too, now. We can't forget about Congress.
Let's talk about Congress. We're talking about career terrorists. You want to talk about change in this country? Let's change it because right now the longest tenured president is 8 years. The longest tenured congressman has been in Congress for 51 years. That is career terrorism. That's the terrorism in America that we don't want to talk about. Or why don't you ask someone who lives outside of America how they look at us? We have the most impressive military on the face of the planet, yet and still we say we need more. Why do we need more? Why do we have police officers and police chiefs in Georgia mad because President Obama is taking the tanks away from the police force? Why do you need a tank?
Right.
A tank.
Why do you need a tank and you're not the National Guard?
You're going up a neighborhood.
Let's talk about
like up in Ferguson, riding around with Uzis and and attack dogs and full body armor, armor-piercing mm-hmm. bullets. Like, people out there with signs. People out there possibly at worst, a little stinky 32 or something, they'd kill somebody. But they out there with little bitty guns. They out there with rocks and bottles and stupid stuff like that, but you're going to roll through with tanks. Really?
Right. We're, because we're being set up at, to be a militarized country, and we're being set up for martial law.
But Nick, the point
exactly.
is, they do not want to say that we have a problem internally within this United States, because the atmosphere that is being bred from the presidential race to everyday life, white people, and I'm going to be honest with you, to my white people out there, I'm just going to be real with you. I ain't trying to offend you, but I'm just going to tell you the truth how it is. Y'all are scared. Y'all get scared. Y'all want to destroy something. You want to shoot something. You want to burn something down. You get angry. Why? Why can't you live with harmony and peace with the universe? Nobody don't want to worry about being shot.
Yeah, that's definitely another show.
Nobody don't want to go through life without, okay, I'll leave that alone.
I have a theory supported by historical facts on why that is, but like I said, that's another show.
Yeah, I'll leave that alone. Like I say, we're going to talk about the woman / man of the year. And I'll break that one down because, you know, I might say something at this particular time that might offend some folks.
I really don't care. I mean, you know, you can say
something.
I'm
going to offend them.
You know,
I'm telling you now.
Go ahead. Glamour magazine this year gave the award to Caitlyn Jenner. And last year it was given to a transgender male woman, Laverne Cox. And Laverne Cox plays on Orange is the New Black. She's the like the tall black hairdresser in that particular show. But she got it last year. Now Laverne was a man. Now she's a woman. She did have the full surgery. And now you have Caitlin, who still has his male body parts, just has breasts. And prefers to go by Caitlin now. And so this year, Caitlin got it. So out of all the women that could have gotten this award, these were the two that got it in the last 2 years.
Okay.
Hey, we're gonna leave Bill Cosby alone today, y'all. We're gonna leave Bill Cosby alone today.
Yeah. Let me ask you.
Even though
some
of the women said he didn't do it. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If Caitlyn Jenner commits a crime and goes to jail, what part of the jail is Caitlyn Jenner going to?
That's a good question.
Ooh. They got a special unit for people.
But it's a special unit in a male jail.
In a male population. Right.
Let's not. I'm not even going to get into what the genetics are. We're not going to have that conversation.
Right.
The mere fact that you still have a penis, you are still a man. And on top of that, I'm going to go ahead and say it because nobody wants to say it. There's nothing courageous about what Caitlyn Jenner did. There's nothing brave. There's nothing that, you know, denotes her being, you know, woman of the year. One, it's not a woman. And I would argue more for Laverne Cox than I would for Caitlyn Jenner. That's the first thing. The second thing, there are people, and while I don't necessarily, I can't even say I don't agree with it because, one, I'm not sleeping with any of them, so I don't really care. I don't necessarily understand it. But there are people that are going through a transition from man to woman, woman to man every day. They don't have the luxury of having the media tell everybody they have to be politically correct with them in order to make sure their transition goes well. They don't have the money that Caitlyn Jenner had to make sure that the transition goes well. They don't have the resources and the media at their feet that Caitlyn Jenner has. So there's a whole bunch of people out there going, if you're going to pick somebody to be Woman of the Year or Brave or this, whatever the case may be, simply because they went from becoming a man to a woman, why don't you look for the people who had to do it with scrutiny in their life, with their family disowning them, with their jobs disowning them? Why don't you go through that? Not somebody who went through it at their own pace, at the comfort of their own home, and with everyone being so politically correct around. There's nothing courageous about Caitlyn Jenner, and it is an insult to all of the hardworking women who get up every day and bust their ass, and any one of them could have been a real candidate for Woman of the Year. Glamour magazine, which is a failing magazine, wanted wanted sales, they wanted advertisers, and that's why Caitlyn Jenner was Woman of the Year. It had nothing to do. There's not one person. Look, you can't find me one person that can say anything that would qualify Caitlyn Jenner for being Woman of the Year any more than you can find me anyone that can say that Hillary Clinton qualifies to be President of the United States. And that's the truth. And nobody wants to say it. I'm not politically correct. If you don't like what I said, there's a button at the upper right hand corner of this screen that you're looking at right now that says broadcast your own show.
Yeah, man, you know what, man, we can carry on tonight, and I appreciate everybody for listening tonight. Nick, we appreciate you, man. I know we know you got a busy schedule up here, so we appreciate you for coming in tonight. Jim, shout out to Jim, wherever you are. Allen, man, we're glad to have you back on the show. So, I mean, these are the things that we didn't get a chance to talk to you guys about in 2015. Allen, let them know what we talked about tonight.
Well, tonight we had, we discussed a lot. So, of course, we talked about the Nigga Man March, the police brutality, the Woman of the Year, which we just covered, the fight for $15, which is the minimum wage increase. We also talked about Officer Daniel Holzclaw, the serial rapist. We talked about Black Twitter, the presidential race, and, of course, the true American terrorists, the American-born ones. And so there may have been some things we may have missed this year. If you would, send us an email at wearethemiddlemen@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at Middleman Talk. You can also follow us on Facebook at The Middleman Talk Show. So we definitely appreciate everyone who tuned in today.
Hey, man. Like I said, once again, we're going to leave Bill Cosby alone.
You keep bringing it up. I got to say one thing, man. Because this was something that was said to me by an older woman. And I'm not saying that he did or did not do what they're saying he did. But one thing
Hold on, Nick, before you say that.
You're killing me. There is no way that a black man raped that many women, including white women, at that time and is not in jail or dead. I don't care how powerful he was.
Tragedy.
At the time that it started, there was no way that he could have gotten away with it. Because here's one. They were gunning for him from the beginning because he was getting too powerful. And I'm not saying that he did not rape some women. I do believe that he probably did. But I also believe he's probably been paying them off for years. And when he said, I'm not going to pay anymore, that's when all this stuff started.
That's when it happened. Yep. There you go.
We're going to leave it there. Because we're going to bring it up another time.
There you go.
You know what? Hopefully you were entertained tonight by the Middleman Talk Show. Hey, man, I miss Jen. You know what, Jen, since you didn't show up,
got to give it to her.
Every time.
Shame, man, damn shame, you know. Well, y'all tune in next week. We'll be back.
Big Chris shouting. Now, I ain't sure what you was tuning in to. We'll pay attention to the real talk. What we here for. So take a listen time out. Take a minute. Shout in and learn some. Put your mind to grind the world. You destined to earn some. Linda, yeah. Comment on what you hear. Let's figure out the master plan and put this thing in gear. Don't matter if you hood or you corporate. Don't get you got a will to do
hating on the next man, cause he was dying to wreck shop. Every Sunday, tune in, go live 6 p.m. blogtalkradio.com. The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? The middle me. Hey, what's happening? Blogtalkradio.com. The middle me.
Great show, guys. Hey, I said we'll be back next week. That will be up in the air. If we're going to do a show on the 27th, please pay attention to our Facebook page. If not, we'll be back at the beginning of the year. Happy
Most
New Year,
yeah.
Y'all. Happy New Year. And all them other things that come along with it. We out.
All right, man. We out.
Peace.